big deal. And it's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Isn't that great? So we are encouraged to show hospitality, to meet with one another, to be friends with one another, to share meals with one another, and then number three, to remember the prisoners. You know, when Jesus, in Matthew 25, when he was talking to the disciples, he said, he gave a picture about the separation of the sheep from the goats. You remember that? And he said, oh, the goats, they didn't show kindness to me. They didn't feed me. They didn't clothe me. They didn't visit me. And he says, the sheep, on the other hand, you visited me when I was sick. You visited me when I was in prison. You did these other works of kindness. Come, enter now into the joy of the Lord. And the thing that made the difference between the sheep and the goats, one of the things, is visiting the prisoners. Now, we don't have a lot of Christians that are in jail right now. But if we did, we would try to visit them, right? That would be right. I don't think it's talking necessarily about going, walking through the jail and just looking for somebody to visit. It's talking about when believers get in there, when they're persecuted, you be willing to stand with them. Stand up for them. Have you ever had to do that? Some Christians being picked on or being run down or being tapped on, and you jump in and say, well, wait a minute. Stop that. This is my brother. This is my sister. You can't do this. Now I'm around. And you stand up for the people that are being persecuted. That's what it says. Remember the prisoners. They're in prison with them, as if you're in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated. When somebody's ill-treated, you say, I'm jumping in, I'm standing with them, I'm going to be on their side. Why? Because we are all part of a body. You know, let's talk about what Christianity is. We sometimes we say it's Christ unity, Christ unity. And it is acknowledging that God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's part of the unity. It's also acknowledging that we are part of the family of God. Don't you love that song? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel the sun. We're a part of the family. The family of God. And you know, that verse also talks about, you wonder why we call each other brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family. These friends are so near. When one has a party, we all share the pain. Mr. Peter, and we rejoice in each victory in this family, Sonia. We need to have that, you know, as part of our church MO. We comfort those that need comforting, and we rejoice with those that need rejoicing. It's all part of what God expects of us. Let's go on. Number four, marriage is to be held in honor. There's a great movement in this day which says that any two people can be married, and any two males, two females can be married, and that's a marriage. That is not a marriage. And of course it says now in our Constitution. I'm so glad that the president came out and said there's only two sexes, man and male and female. Did you know that that 72 genders are celebrated in other organizations? We celebrate one and two, and it says that we hold them in honor. It is a good thing. It's a good thing to get married. And it says that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. We want to honor that union. We're not going to honor all the rest of these. We don't honor polygamy. We don't honor adultery. Notice what it says. The marriage bed is undefiled. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. You know, and so if we are saying, well, you know, it's okay, young person, to go out and live with. I was just absolutely floored, aghast, when Crusade for Christ, I used to work with that organization, came out and said it's fine for a young couple to live together. We can work with that. Mm-hmm. On what scriptural basis can you work with that? Mm-hmm. The Lord says you're going to come into judgment. If you fornicate, I'm not going to go into details today. If you commit adultery, you're married to one woman. Stay that way. And if you don't, you come into judgment. If you look at 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul tells his attention towards the church there, and he says, neither adulterers, or fornicators, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Get the story? And here's how he finishes it up. Have part in the kingdom of God. You're not going to go to heaven if you're an adulterer, if you're a homosexual, if you're effeminate, you're not going to heaven. And if you don't believe that, look at Revelation 22, verse 8. Same thing. So, we want to honor marriage, and we encourage young people to get married. Don't live with one another. You may be going for a common law marriage, which is 7 years living with the same person. That's not God's way. At least not in this society. God's way is you stay pure, you stay holy, two holy people, one who wears a white dress to signify that, they stand before Pastor. I'm not going to say, you know, there's a lot of other ways to get married too. I think this is God. You stand before Pastor and you say, I do. I'm ready to be bond. Sam and I have talked about this. Sam, you're shaking your head because I know you agree 100%. Praise the Lord. We should all be that. We should honor marriage. Look at also number 5. Make sure your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. What does that mean? Well, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6, he says that the love of money, verse 8, is a root of all kinds of evil. When you love money, what kind of evil comes in? Well, number one on the list is covetousness. Does the Lord say anything against covetousness? Oh, yeah. Even in the 10 biggies, it is, you shall not covet. So don't get in a love relationship with money. I have seen people throw away the Christian testimony because, well, this person over here offers me some great money. I remember hearing a story about a man who was a missionary in Africa. And some place in Africa needed somebody to watch over the oil fields. And this guy had also spent a little time in the oil fields. And he was a good person. He could relate well to people. And so the oil company came to him and said, we have a job for you. You are the right person. You're the perfect person. We want to pay you $100,000 a year. And the man turned him down. Said, no, I don't think so. And they doubled it. They said, we will pay you $200,000 a year. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. He said, we will pay you $500,000 a year. $500,000 a year. He says, you know, understand this, guys. It's not that your financial offer is too small. It's that your job is too small. God has called me to be a missionary. That, my friends, is you don't love God. Excuse me. You don't love money above God. You recognize what God has done for you, and you say, I want to be on His side. Period. So, be content. And notice where these go. Be content with what you have. And then it goes to, so we can confidently say. You see those words? Content and confident. We move from being content with what God has given me. But, you know, here's the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison. And what does he say? I have learned in whatever circumstance I am, therewith to be content. He learned that, and he called it the secret of contentment. But that's where it begins, being content. And then it lets go into confidence. I am not confident in myself. I am confident in the Lord. I wrote down a bunch of things here. My list. Here are some things that the Lord says about us. We can take confidence in it. First of all, there's a couple of them right here. He has said, I will never desert you. Who said that? Jesus. I want you to know something. You see there it says, I will never desert you. In the Greek language, they put double negatives together. In the English language, if we say a double negative, it negates the first one. In the Greek, it doesn't work that way. If you say a double negative, it really means you're serious. It means you really mean it. And what does the Lord really say to us? I will never, never desert you. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, God. I love you so much. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to the next phrase. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So I told you how important double negatives are. Scripture, any other place, seldom uses triple negatives. I mean, a double negative really drives the point home. This is a triple negative. So you get the message from the Lord. He said it in Matthew 28, verse 20, for lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. No negatives there. That's just a positive statement. But with a double negative and a triple negative, the Lord drives home this point. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will never leave you. No, not ever. I will never leave you. Take that to the bank. That's part of our confident living. Let me give you a couple other phrases. I'll be with you always. That's Matthew 28:20. You can do all things through me who strengthens you. That's Philippians 4:10. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know that, Psalm 23. Nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. That's Romans 8:39. One more. I will come in and sup with you, and you with me, if you will just simply open the door. The Lord wants to come in and have a fantastic meal with you. You know, in that culture, if you really wanted to spend time with somebody in a very positive way, you invited them to dinner. Jesus said, you can invite me to dinner. Open the door. And this greatest social experience that you could have, I'll have it with you. My friends, that is a promise to every one of us. The Lord's standing at the door knocking, and he says, if you will open the door, I will come in, and we'll have this great fellowship, so that I can confidently say, the Lord says, I will never desert you. The Lord may bring dessert, but he's not going to desert you. All right, let's move on to maybe the next one anyway. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. The word imitate there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul uses it as mimic. So what I see here is we need to look for people that can mentor us. You know, as a young man, there were two men in particular that were really my mentors, and they really helped me in great ways to grow in my Christian life. One of them was a man, they're both gone now, they both died. One was a man named Dick Owens. He was the guy that actually licensed me to preach in 1973. But he did so after teaching me theology and even getting me started in Greek. He was my mentor. I had one other mentor was a guy named Paul Minnick. Paul Minnick was a Presbyterian elder. I've had Baptist, I've had Presbyterian, I've had Grace Brethren. I was ordained Grace Brethren. I've had all these different experiences in me. I don't like to claim any one of them. I tell people, I'm a biblicist. That's it. I want to handle accurately God's word of truth, because that's where it is. But you know what? I needed mentors, and so do you. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, the things that you have seen of me among many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, that searching for a mentor is not only for the pastors, and it's not only for you to get mentors, but it's also for you to be a mentor. Come back, well, what should we do? Or how should we serve the Lord? Well, look for people that you can mentor. One last thing, and this one could have gone on next week's message as well. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's kind of, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? Jesus is the same. He does not change. God doesn't change. You know, we talk about the God of wrath in the Old Testament and the God of love in the New Testament. No, it's the same God. It's different experiences. But we are to serve Him and to love Him. And Jesus said, I'm not going to change. I'm going to be the same. It is the same Savior who loved us and gave Himself up for us, who has ascended into heaven, who is our soon coming King.
Amen.
And we go back to the kingdom of God. Let's live in it. Let's walk in it. There are a lot of other people that say different things about Jesus. You know, He was just a man. He was a great prophet. He was a whatever. Let's get it right. Jesus Christ is God's Son, Savior. He is God in the flesh. And He will never change. Yeah. Don't tell me I've got this new revelation of God. Yeah. That's not. Jesus is the same. And if you have not received Him as your Savior, He will be your judge. But if you have received Him as your Savior,
this is so exciting.
He is your best friend. I hope He's your best friend. Let's go to prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for what You have revealed to us in Your Word. Your Word is true. And we can take so much comfort in the things that You tell us. You are our God and we have no other God besides You. We ask for You to lead us in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to give You our heart, our lives. Help us to become the people that You want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.